Well, hello, and I thank you for listening in today in this recording of The Enemy, the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad to be with you today. I hope I don't cough and hack like I've been doing on all the other ones and aggravate you to death, but we're going to try to get through this together. But today we're going to talk about The Enemy some more. It's going to be in study number 5, I think it was, wasn't it? Yep, study number 5 in the letter E. And when we say the enemy, we're talking specifically about Satan. He used to have a name called Lucifer whenever God created him. And he was the covering cherub in heaven with the Lord. And he was one of 5 cherubs that God created. And he was very special. And was something else. If you want to, the way the Southern people say it, he was something else. But he messed up, and he rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord threw him out. And this is what the main thing that's been going on in all of creation is the battle and the struggle between him and the Lord, our Creator. Now, of course, we know that we're on God's side. Ain't no question about that. And I hope you don't have any question about that. If somebody was to come up there and you remember when you was a kid and y'all stand there and somebody took their foot and drug you across the dirt and made a line and said, step across, here's the line, whose side you on? Well, if somebody drew a line out there and said, this is the devil's side and this is the Lord's side, whose side you on? I hope you don't have a problem with that, and I hope you know absolutely in your heart and your allegiance and your devotion is definitely on one side of the line, and you're not, and especially you're not staggering the line. You ain't got one foot on one side and one foot on the other, but you're very distinct about what side you're on, and very what's a good word? Adamant about it. You're on that side, and you're not ashamed of it. And you don't mind letting people know whose side you're on. That's the way a Christian's supposed to be. The Lord said he's not ashamed to be our God. And you shouldn't be ashamed to be a son of God. And you shouldn't be ashamed to be a servant of the Lord. And shouldn't be ashamed to be serving him. And to be seen and identified and associated with him. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. The Bible says that the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Okay, so now that we got that down, whose side we're on, let's go ahead and talk about the enemy some more. Well, last week we talked about, let's just recap real quick. We've talked about, does Satan exist? We've talked about the origin of Satan. We've talked about the sin of Satan. And then after that, we talked about where is Satan now. And last recording, I don't know where these things are going. I keep wanting to say last recording, last this, last that. Satan's work, I'm not very good at this, but anyway. Satan's workings among the unsaved is what we talked about, wasn't it? I mean, if we can't talk and have a good time studying God's Word, there ain't nowhere in the Scripture says you can't have a good time studying God's Word. I think God's a wonderful God, and I love being excited and having joy in my heart listening to God's Word and listening to truth, don't you? And that's the way we're supposed to do, be able to laugh, and when it's time to repent, then repent. It's time to have joy, it's time to have joy. It's time to be sad, time to be sad. The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. Now, Satan's workings among the unsaved, we talked about. And one thing that we decided was that what God calls Satan, what God calls the unsaved that have to do that are on that are under Satan's power, put it that way. And the Bible said the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, God doesn't make, he don't do like the world's doing nowadays. Like you take your hands and you put them together palm to palm, you see a picture of the praying person or something, had the hands together palm to palm, and then take your fingers and split them between one another and close it up like you're making a double fist, and you close it up like that and you see how your fingers intertwine. Well, that's the way the world does. And the world's doing with races, the world's doing with integration, and it's doing with everything. It's bringing everything together where it's all confused, and when you look at it, you can't tell what's what. You couldn't name black, you can't name white, you can't name left, you can't name right, you can't name up, you can't name down, because it all looks the same. It's all mixed up. And so that ain't the way the Lord does, though. The Lord draws a line. He has parallel. He has parameters. He has way over here on the left, way over here on the right. He has up all the way on the top, all the way on the bottom. I mean, when the Lord says up, he defines up as up. When he says down, he defines down as down. Left is left, right is right, black is black, white is white. When he defines an unsaved person, he doesn't confuse it and make it sound like it's somebody that's saved like they do nowadays. You see, when you hear the word Christian nowadays, even though we shouldn't be ashamed to be called Christian and associated with the name of Christ, because they were first called Christ at Antioch. I've heard some pastors, you know, it's hard to find a name to be called. You call Baptist, called Presbyterian, called Catholic, called this, called that. But the scriptures, the Bible says that we're Christian. And they were first called Christian at Antioch. And I don't think he would have mentioned the word first if it wasn't intended to be carried on. Says they were first called Christian in Antioch. But what I'm trying to get to is there's a difference in the way the Lord describes things in the scriptures. And when he says it, that's what he's talking about. He's not mixing things up. He's not the author of confusion. He don't intend on you being confused about anything. So when he's talking about the unsaved, he calls them children of the wicked one. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He called them children, said their father was the devil. And then he said, in Acts chapter 13, verse 10, he called them, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. Now, he's not talking about a Christian there. He's not talking about a son of God. He's not talking about a saved person. He's talking about, and in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he said, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, the children of the devil. Now, we talked about Satan's workings among the unsaved. Well, the first thing we needed to do last week, or last recording, was to define what an unsaved person is. And the Bible says that they're children of the devil, the same thing that we used to be before God called us out and adopted us and gave us the Christ's righteousness and the Spirit of Christ to dwell in us, the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and he put Christ's righteousness on us. And now we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We're sold to the Lord. We're bought by the Lord. And he has redeemed us. He's paid for our sins and put them away. And we're saved and on our way to heaven. We're in a new family. We're sons of God. We're adopted children of God. Okay, and we're fixing to get into that. But I guess the point I'm trying to get is that there is a distinct difference. And when the Lord speaks of unsaved people and speaks of saved people, he don't ever put them together and confuse them in the scriptures. Now, you got over 200 translations of the so-called Word of God going on out there, and they all say something different. Now, that's confusion. Now, I don't know what you think about all that, but it don't take a real smart person to understand that. And that you should have already had your answer when you heard me say that just now in your own mind and in your own heart. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, how's he blinding them? Well, we just talked about one way, confusion. Well, who is the Lord? Well, where is the Lord? Well, where is God's Word? Well, the television blinds them. The radio's blinding them. They can't see the light of Jesus Christ in the world anymore. All you so-called Bibles out there that's saying something different, every one of them. Well, my Bible says this. Well, my Bible says that. Well, which one is it? We didn't have that problem 40 years ago, 50 years ago. When I was a boy, there wasn't no such thing as all these translations going around and confusing everybody. It was just the Bible. But confusion. Now, that's not God's authorship. God's not authoring all that confusion. The Lord didn't bring all that confusion up, and it's not His will. But the God of this world does. The Bible says He's the deceiver. It not only says He's the deceiver, He's the great deceiver. The Bible sees the enemy, Satan, coming into the Scriptures as a deceiver. In the middle of the Scriptures, he's a deceiver. And in the end of the Scriptures, he's called the great deceiver that deceived the entire world. And you don't think he can deceive just little old you and me? Of course he can. That's why we need to know the truth and believe the truth and trust in the truth and cling to the truth and our devotion and our allegiance be to the truth so you won't be deceived. Now, we talked about Satan's workings among the unsaved, and we've seen that. Now, let's move on into this next one now that I've used up a lot of time here, but that's okay. Satan's workings among real Christians. Now, in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 4, and I'll give you these scriptures in a little bit. Excuse me. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, in that scripture, I want to ask you three questions. According to that scripture we just read, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world." I'm going to ask you four questions. First one is, in that scripture we just read, is it different? Can you tell a distinct difference than the last scripture that I read about the enemy and the people that are blinded by him? Can you tell a distinct difference in who he's talking about? Sure you can. This one here says, "Ye are of God, little children," called you children, little children, "and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Okay, here's the next question. Who's the one that's in you? The one that's in you is Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity. God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. The Bible says God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you if ye are of God and you're one of God's children. Okay, second question, or third question, is who's the one that's in the world? Well, who'd we just talk about a minute ago? The God of the world. Who's the one that's in the world? Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness of this world. He is the one that's in the world. Now, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So, according to what we just got through reading and the questions that we've asked already, here's the last question. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest and most powerful? Well, the Bible says, now not what Thurman says, and not what we think, and not what confusion things, but what does the Bible say? "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. Question answered, right? Now, listen to this. It's essential for you to know the fact that Satan is a powerful being. We talked about that earlier. You don't want to hold your fist up to him, and you don't want to challenge him. Michael didn't even challenge him when they were arguing about the body of Moses. Remember that? He just rebuked him in the name of the Lord. He said, "The Lord rebuked thee." He didn't challenge him. He didn't start a fight with him or pick a fight with him. Even though he might have wanted to knock his brains out, but one of them days is coming. But you don't want to challenge him. He's a powerful being. He is a powerful creature. And the Bible teaches that he works with a whole kingdom of darkness that's made up of all the angels that sinned with him at the beginning. And according to the Bible, these angels, they're not called angels anymore, even though they were angels. They're called devils, and they're called unclean spirits, according to the Word of God. The Bible says in Jude, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, what was the first estate? Well, when they were angels, which they were, their first estate was in heaven with the Lord, with Lucifer up there. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, they done it voluntarily, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. You see. All right. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, it says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And let's read a few more verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, here's what we're wrestling about. When it talks about wrestling, it ain't talking about wrestling like you'd wrestle in a gymnasium or something like that. It's talking about the warring that's going on, the war, war, a good warfare, the fight, the good fight of faith. It's talking about the battle that's going on. The war is between the Lord and the devil. Against light, against darkness. And we are on the Lord's side. We've been rescued and adopted from the enemy's side. And now we are on the Lord's side. And now we are commanded to fight the good fight of faith, war a good warfare, and to battle against the darkness of this world. Now listen to this scripture here in Luke chapter 4. Now what we're talking about is Satan's workings among real Christians. Now the last scriptures that we have read, and if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? You see, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying right there. They were accusing him of being on Satan's side. And he said, what are you, idiots? He said, if Satan goes against himself, he said, how's he going to win anything? He said, he's divided against himself. I mean, even Satan doesn't go against his own side. I mean, he knows who's on his side, and he knows who's on God's side. Remember when he talked about Paul? He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? Remember them devils that was talking to that one guy that was trying to cast out those devils? And them devils jumped on him, said he left out of the house naked and running. In Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 36, the Bible says this, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Notice that they're picking sides. They're saying, we're on this side and you're on that side. What do we have to do with thee? Now listen to this. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Amen. Now let me ask you a few questions. Let's go over a few facts concerning what the scriptures say about Satan's workings among real Christians. First thing we'll say, I'm going to just make a statement. I'm going to leave a word out, and I want you to answer it for me. All right, so according to the scriptures and what we've read, like say, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. I didn't read that yet, but I will right now. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, remember who we talked about the tempter was, that was one of his names, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. According to that verse right there in 1 Thessalonians, Satan can steal what me? Satan can steal what me? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Satan's workings among real Christians, one of them is that Satan can still tempt me. He can still tempt you. Can you think of anything that you've been tempted by? And that would be Satan's fault that he did? It just happened to me recently. I'll tell you about it sometime. Craziest thing that ever happened. I mean, he comes up with some doozies, boy. I'm telling you. And he knows right where to do it. He knows human beings. He's been around human beings for 6,000 years. And he knows how we do. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Let's have another one here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. You see, he's called a dragon and a serpent now. And it says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. According to that verse right there, here's another statement I want you to fill in the blank for me. According to Revelation, what we just read, Satan does blank me. What did that verse just talk about? It talked about Satan, the accuser, the one that was cast out, the devil, the old serpent, the great dragon. It says, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan's workings among real Christians. Satan does what me? He accuses me. Satan can still tempt me, and he can still accuse me. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, you see, there's the ticket. We've been forgiven, and we are not sinners any longer as far as doctrinally. We have Christ's righteousness, and we're not sinners anymore. We are saints that sin. There's a difference. There's a difference. My little children, and we'll get into that in one of these other lessons. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. According to that verse right there, when we do sin and when he does accuse us, my advocate is who? Jesus Christ, the righteous, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. So Satan's working among real Christians. He still tempts us. He still accuses us. And he goes and accuses us before God the Father. And Jesus Christ the righteous, our advocate, is in heaven after his ascension. He's been up there since his ascension. And he's up there advocating for us and defending us before his heavenly Father and our Father. Now here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now according to that verse right there in 1 Thessalonians, Satan will try to what me? in my service for the Lord. You got it. He'll try to hinder us. He tries to hinder us. And he will. Expect it. I have a preacher that's been very faithful to my faith since I got saved, or since the Lord assigned him to start teaching me. And he's been very faithful to teach me. And he taught me, don't just be so casual and happenstance about whether or not Satan's going to attack you or not, or whether he's going to try to hinder you or not. Expect attack. Expect attack. Because you're on one side and Satan's on the other, and you're enemies and you're in a battle. There's going to be warfare. There's going to be warfare and there's going to be battles and in this war, and expect attack and expect him to try to hinder you of what you're doing. Satan's workings among real Christians, he tries to hinder you and hinder your service for the Lord. Here's another one. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 or hear it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, talking about God the Holy Ghost, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's that talking about? He's talking about Christians that listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they give heed to them. They don't resist them. Rather, they yield to them, and they depart from the faith. Satan's going to try to get Christians to... Here's the fill in the blank I want you to answer for me. Satan's going to try to get Christians to depart from what? Depart from the what? Depart from the faith. One thing that Satan's going to always try to do, and you need to expect it, and every day of your life that you get up, that you serve the Lord, you should expect it, that Satan's going to try to take your Bible away from you. Because he knows that God's Word is the power behind your faith. And he knows if he can get that Bible from you, that the world and the flesh and the devil himself and his unclean spirits that are serving him, they'll do the rest. They'll take you on out. If he gets that Bible from you, the rest of it's over, because he's got your sword and you can't defend yourself anymore. He's going to try to get your sword from you. Don't let him have it. Satan's going to try to get Christians to depart from the faith. The Bible said right there, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost speaking, he speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and we are in the latter times, my friend, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Nowadays you see Christians doing stuff that is not only against the Word of God, and but are trying to defend it and trying to say that it's okay and God don't care. And they're wrong. God's Word doesn't change. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word is talked about as the everlasting Word, the inerrant Word. Unchanging. The unchanging Word. Here's another one. Let's look at it. Sometimes God's going to permit Satan to afflict Christians physically. He did it with Job. He allowed it to happen, but he allowed it for a good reason, to teach Job a good lesson. Not that Job did anything wrong, but that Job was being perfected. And Job was absolutely right when Job said that he hadn't sinned against the Lord and he wasn't doing anything secretly in his heart. He was absolutely right in all his speeches and all the things that he talked about, talked to Elihu and Eliphaz and all the rest of them. He talked with them. He was telling the truth about it. You say, well, what was the problem then? The problem was that Job, I'm looking for my word. I had it right on the end of my tongue. Job had his integrity, and the Lord, that was the question that Job, that the Lord and the devil talked about to begin with. You remember? The Lord said, have you noticed my servant Job, that he retains his integrity and that he keeps his integrity? Well, Job did keep his integrity. But the devil told him, said, well, you take this from him and you do that from him, he'll spit in your face. He'll cuss you to your face. And, you know, Job never did. But what the problem was that wound up the whole book of Job is that Job did have his integrity. But Job was trusting in his integrity. He wasn't trusting in God's integrity. That's the difference. You see, and we are to walk in our integrity also. The integrity of being on God's side and being for the Lord and being for righteousness and doing things right and doing things holy and walking in holiness and all that and having our integrity. But we're not to get proud and trust in our integrity, because we can fall, because we still are sinners. We still walk around with his flesh. And it's possible for us to fall. Even though we should not sin, it's possible for us to sin. So we should not trust in our own power and in our own integrity. We should trust in God's integrity that works in us and through us. You see the difference? And that's the lesson that the Lord taught Job. And Job accepted it right away. He knew when God asked him all them questions, the only thing he said to the Lord was, I'm vile. I'm vile. And you're talking to a man that had been sitting in ashes with sores all over him and pus running out of him and everything else. And the only thing he could come up with is, I'm vile. And that's all we can come up with, ain't it? Because when it comes to our righteousness, we don't have any righteousness. Our righteousness is just filthy rags, you see. But God's righteousness working in us and through us, and the change that he's turning us into, is a wonderful person. And he's making us like our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's beautiful about the work that the Lord's doing in us. But it's the Lord's work, and that's what we need to remember. Okay, sometimes God's going to permit this affliction. He's going to permit Christians physically, but always for the glorious purpose of glorifying him and turning us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Job chapter 1, it says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then also it says in Job 2:4-7, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone, his flesh, and he will curse thee thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, and the sole of his foot, from the sole of his foot to his crown, atop of his head. And see, that's like the enemy. And the enemy, he ain't got no problem doing that to us. And you got to remember that. Now, we're talking about Satan's workings among real Christians. There's going to be times that you're going to have physical problems. And it's not going to be because you ain't done anything wrong. It's going to be because God's allowing something to happen and maybe allowing the enemy to work you over. But he's doing it so that when it's all over and done, you're going to be more like Jesus. And you say, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either. But if God decides that's the way it needs to be done, then we need to honor him. And we need to give him the glory through it all. You see, Job gave the Lord the glory through it all. He never did curse the Lord, even though his wife told him to. And turned against him. Shame on her. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Of course, you know who that is. That's the Apostle Paul. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord twice or thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here was Paul's answer. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So if you think that God is punishing you, that might be completely not right, not correct. The Lord does punish His children and chasten us, but we're not talking about the Lord's workings. We're talking about Satan's workings among real Christians right now. So we see Satan can still tempt me, that he accuses me, that he goes before my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father and tries to accuse us, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, there to defend us. And he tries to hinder our service for the Lord. And Satan's going to try to get Christians to depart from the faith, and that includes you. He's going to try to take your Bible, and he's going to try to mess your service up for the Lord. You need to stay devoted and stay focused. You know those race horses, when they race and they let them out of that gate and they take off running? Every one of them horses, you notice, has got one piece of equipment on them that's the same. They got blinders on them. And if you look on their faces and you look at the horse's head, they have little masks on them, and they got blinders that are beside the outsides of their eyeballs, and they're little pieces of leather that are put onto a strap or part of their bridle or whatever, and they cover up the outsides of their eyeballs. And you know what they're for? It's for their focus, so that they can only look straight ahead. So they can't, well, when they look right, all they see is that leather, and when they look left, all they see is that leather. They can't see no horse running beside them to distract them. All they're looking at is straight ahead. And that's the same thing that us Christians need to have on as our focus. And all we do is look forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are before. Sometimes God's going to permit Satan to afflict you, and maybe it's going on, maybe it's not. But that is some part of Satan's workings among real Christians. And that's what we've been talking about today. Satan's workings among real Christians. You know, if Satan ain't bothering you a bit and you ain't getting no resistance and this, that, and the other, is one of a couple things that are going on. Either you are messing with a bunch of sin and you are not a threat to Satan, even though you are on God's side, you're not a threat to Satan, or you're not a challenge to him, you're not messing up his work in any way, or you're not doing anything for the Lord. If you're on God's side, you're supposed to be stirring things up. And I don't mean in an arrogant way. I mean in a loyal way, where you're on God's side and you're doing what you're doing what the Lord expects out of you. And if you're doing what the Lord expects out of you, you're stirring up some evil. You're being a light in a dark world. You know how people that want to walk around in the dark and everything, you know how you coming down a dark dirt road, and you coming down that dirt road, and all of a sudden there's a big left-hand turn, and you make that left-hand turn, and then all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of people out there standing in the dark, and they're holding their hands up to their eyes, trying to get the light out of their eyes, and they're running to get back in the darkness, or something like that. That's kind of like it is in this world. If you're on God's side, you're a light in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're in a dark world, and they're going to do one of two things when you come up. If you're living for the Lord and you're devoted to the Lord and you're on the Lord's side, when you walk up, that light's going to shine, and they're going to do one of two things. They're going to hold their hands up and try to block the light because they don't like the light, and they're going to run and try to get away from the light. Or either it's going to attract them, and they're going to come to the light, one or the other. So there it is, Satan's workings among real Christians. And we'll talk about some more. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. You ready? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Jude chapter 6. Matthew chapter 12, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 36. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 2. And chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And that's it. And it's been good studying with you today, and I thank you and I praise you for studying God's Word and honoring the Lord and honoring His Word, and the Lord will honor you for it. I know He will. He honors those that honor Him. The next thing we're going to talk about in our next lesson is, how do I deal with the devil? How do I deal with him? In the past, we've talked about so far Satan's workings with among the unsaved, and we just got through talking about Satan's workings among real Christians. Among real Christians. You see the difference? You see the complete difference about what Satan is trying to do with the unsaved, trying to blind them from Christ, and then with the real Christians, he's trying to get you away from trying to steal your love from the Lord, you see, and trying to hinder you and trying to accuse you and all that kind of stuff. So, completely different. Completely different. I don't want to lift him up, but what I want to say is he is indeed a true enemy, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Give no place to the devil. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and I thank you for listening to this, and we will talk again in the next one, if the Lord will, and I hope that He does. I know that He does, but that we could come together and love God's Word. Bye-bye.